Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Doctor's Day, Tony. You're an honorary doctor. Does that even count?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Probably not, but I have started performing surgeries anyway.
Oh, that's
good. I think I'm entitled
to it. And a discount? Yeah. You know, like that 20% concierge discount to start out? Were you doing that?
Well, knee replacements, you know? I mean, I have knees. I think I could do somebody else's knees. And I have a diploma that says I'm a doctor, so it works out. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Baylor and Houston make the Final Four. The Baylor Lady Bears cry foul, and the Nets defend their super team. But we begin today with the heavy hitters in tonight's NCAA games, Gonzaga and Michigan. Gonzaga rolls in 29-0, trouncing everybody, and faces USC, a 6 seed. Michigan comes off their destruction of Florida State and faces UCLA, an 11 seed, which had to survive a play-in game to even get to the main draw. So, Wilbon, which number one seed is more likely to go home, Gonzaga or Michigan?
Tony, we did this yesterday, and we said we thought both of the higher seeds were going to win. We were pretty convinced. We finally got something right in the tournament, both of us. We got that, so pat on the back to each of us. And now I got the same feeling going in. I mean, whatever vulnerability Michigan has, I don't know that UCLA, as well as it has played, can exploit that. I just don't. And maybe I'm just being hard-headed and holding on to my Big Ten, clutching at the last team left. The game I really care about is Gonzaga-USC, because I'm starting to find Mobley irresistible to watch, and Suggs as well. I shouldn't say this. I know not to do this. But when I'm watching Suggs, I am making comparisons to Chris Paul. That here's a guy, he's not 6'9", he's not, you know, like Ja Morant fast, and he is just out there making all the right plays all the time. His teammates are always open, or so it seems, when they get the ball from him. I don't see either one of them losing. I just don't see either one of those teams going out.
Yeah, this could be the end of the Pac-12 insurrection. I mean, we could end up, you know, with 3-1s and a 2, which would make the committee feel good. I just want to say to begin with, I'm thrilled that UCLA is this far in the tournament. Thrilled. Because I'm old enough and you're old enough to remember when UCLA was the dominant team in college basketball.
Yes,
they were the standard by which everybody else measured themselves. And it's fairly convenient to lump USC with them because they both share Los Angeles. But No.
One is not
USC is a football school. USC
yes.
is a football school. They're doing very well this year, but they do not have the pedigree. I will get to Michigan first. I can't see Michigan losing. Now, this is based almost completely on the Florida State game because that was revelatory to me. And I just think that the way they are so patient to get good shots, I think they're going to win. So much like you, if a team were to lose, I think it would be that USC might take down Gonzaga. Now, I'm saying this out loud. Gonzaga should win the game and could win the game by 30. But they do have the big kid who was the Pac-12 Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And something else, Mike. They have an incentive because they are from the West Coast. And over the last X amount of years, as the Pac-12 has receded,
Gonzaga
has gotten all
they've
the
owned
ink.
It. They've gotten all the real estate.
They've gotten all the
yes.
ink that all these kids
yeah.
wanted.
Yeah.
So in a sense,
yeah.
Mike, in a sense, it's almost a revenge game for a Pac-12 team and their coach, Andy Enfield.
Yeah.
If you remember Andy Enfield from Florida Gulf Coast, he's the kind of guy, he could say, let's score 95, and if we get killed, we get killed, but let's go. So,
aren't Mobley and Suggs irresistible? It's like the pros. You're watching, you can watch them. Yes, their teams are fabulous, but they are good enough to hold your attention individually, I think, anyway.
Well, I said this the other day. Suggs finds people open all the time under the basket.
He makes them open. He passes them open. That's a skill set right there.
Yep.
On the women's side, Tone, Baylor and UConn went down to the final seconds with the Huskies up 1. Baylor guard Dejanay Carrington appeared to get fouled on her shot by not 1, but 2 UConn players. No whistle. Tone, does there have to be a whistle?
All right. So I watched this game in real time. I got to be honest here. I started out watching both games, the Oregon State-Houston game and this game. And this game was so exciting, Mike, that I pretty much gave up on the Houston-Oregon State game and stayed with this. You know, like all of a sudden it's 55-45 at one point, Baylor and then UConn 19 in a row. So I watched. So I'm watching in real time. when she takes that shot and two different Connecticut defenders are right there, I thought she got hit by both of them.
At the time, you thought it was a foul.
Yes, I thought you have to call that foul at that moment, and I was sort of stunned that the foul was not called. Yeah, I think, now I don't know if the shot's going to be good anyway. Maybe the shot is short, but I think she deserves the chance to go to the line and change the course of the game, yes.
Yeah, in live time, Tony, I got to tell you, in live time, I was the opposite way. I thought it could have been clean. You know, where the player or players defensively go straight up, hands don't come down.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, maybe they leaned a little bit, but they didn't come down like that. And then, Tone, still photo. You know, my son runs in the room and says, no, 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 you're wrong. Look at this. I don't even know how he got this stupid photo. But the photo is there, and you see the defensive player's hands on the forearms. That's a foul. So I ultimately got to the point you got. I needed more, you know, visual aid at this point. It's insane. But because, Tony, at first I think you don't make that call. You don't take the game away from the players if it's marginal. But, Tone, I don't think it was marginal in the final analysis.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's marginal. I think in a no-call situation, it's like the Los Angeles Rams and the New Orleans Saints.
Ooh.
I mean, she's sitting down on the ground. Ooh. She got knocked down. I mean, I thought that was a foul. Now, if you're Gino Auriemma, you know she got fouled, but what are you going to do? This happens so often in basketball. If you're Kim Mulkey, the reverse has happened to her, I'm sure,
probably
at various times.
Such a long time.
You know, either a foul isn't called or a foul is called, and she's the beneficiary of that. Yeah. And just before we move on this, just let me say about Kim Mulkey after the game, where she said, I think the NCAA should stop testing for coronavirus and let everybody play in the Final Four. I was surprised to hear that from an educator. That is not the position I would take.
Tony, if you've been paying attention to Kim Mulkey, you know that's the position she's taken, and not just this year. So it shouldn't be any surprise where Kim Mulkey's coming from.
Let's move now to the Brooklyn Nets and one of their recent big-name acquisitions, Blake Griffin. Last night, Griffin was asked by the New York Post about the perception the Nets are assembling a super team. And Griffin said, quote, the last couple of years, all I've heard is how bad I am. You sign with this team and everybody's like, that's not fair. Wilbon, do the Nets deserve criticism for assembling a super team?
None whatsoever. The Nets didn't invent assembling super teams. In the modern incarnation of this, this is LeBron and D-Wade.
LeBron
and,
James.
And Bosh. This is LeBron in Miami in 2010.
Change sports.
People stop.
Change sports.
And Blake Griffin is 100% right. 2 weeks ago, all anybody wanted to do was point out that he couldn't dunk and couldn't block a shot. That's what they were saying. And so now you're supposed to fear him like it's 2010 and there's a Kia on the court or whatever, you know, whatever kind of car it was. So Blake was funny and smart. And by the way, we hadn't heard from Blake Griffin in like 3 years, right? It's been a long time. And now all of a sudden, because he's with the Nets and not with the completely irrelevant Pistons, Blake is everywhere. There's Blake sound bites every night, which I think is cool because Blake Griffin is a smart, funny guy. But, Tony, this is what the Nets are. We've known it. LaMarcus Aldridge doesn't tip it all the way over. They've already had this when they had just the three of them, Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and then James Harden. So, people, shut up.
Yeah, so I find myself in complete agreement with Steve Nash, who said we didn't do anything illegal and we're trying to get better as a team. I mean, I get that. Look, Blake Griffin was terrible with Detroit. Anybody could have had him. LaMarcus Aldridge was sitting there. Anybody could have had him. They were big stars. They are big names, but they were not big stars this year.
No,
I said yesterday exactly what I'm going to say today. I find it very interesting. I don't condemn them for it. I wonder if it will work. Are there too many big egos in too small a space? Is the chemistry issue going to crop up? I wonder about it, but I don't condemn them for trying to build a soup. That's what you're supposed to do.
Build the best
but
team you can build.
But is it going to work?
Get the best players you can get. Yes, Tony, look, this is the must-see part of the season. Now, first of all, we've reached that part of the calendar and the schedule where you go, okay, these games now mean more who can do what. And the Brooklyn Nets, they provide a team in the East which is, I mean, look, maybe they're villainous to some people, not to me. But the Brooklyn Nets provide a foe in the East that is good as anybody in the West. And it's been a long time since you went into or got near the playoffs with that presumption.
We've seen this before a few years back when Kevin Durant went to Golden State and Golden State was criticized for taking him. And Durant was criticized. He said, why don't you build your own team? Why do you go some other championship team? And then they won 2 out of 3 years and everybody shut up. And the proof of it is down the road. Most people. Let's take a break. But coming up, did Houston or Baylor pull off the more impressive win last night?
And Russell Westbrook put up insane numbers last night. But did Evan Fournier have the more memorable performance?
Yeah, I'm going back to what I said earlier in the show. I stopped watching Houston and Oregon State to watch UConn and Baylor.
It was a blowout. It was time to go to the clicker. You had to go to the clicker.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Time for toss-up. Two men enter, and one of them just happens to be an honorary doctor of humane letters, which probably gives him an edge. What's first?
Toss-up. Who looked more impressive last night, Houston or Baylor?
Baylor to me. Houston had a big lead and they let it slip away and they won the game, so good for them. But Baylor looks better and better to me every game that they play, Mike. They were sat down for about 3 weeks, I think they missed, on coronavirus protocols, and then they lost a game, maybe their second game back against Kansas. But now that they play with regularity, they just look better all the time to me. They're veterans, they're juniors and seniors, they're composed, they can take you off the dribble. You know, they can win games, and I think we're going to get to the point, no knock on Houston, where we end up with the 1 and the 2 and the 3 team from all year long, right? And that, to me, is the right tournament to have.
That could happen. Yeah. I don't care about that. I like more upsets in my tournament. But I'm going to say, Tony, I have the same answer that you just had. I mean, Baylor, you talk about guard play. And in the tournament that you and I do appreciate, guards dominate the tournament. They're deep in guard play. I mean, smart, tough, athletic guard play. They come at you in waves, sort of like the old Houston Cougars. You know, Guy V. Lewis's Houston teams. And yes, they had Hakeem, but they also had just wings and guards who just smothered you. That's what Baylor looks like. And that, Tony, Baylor did struggle when they first came back from the Corona protocol absence. But each game subsequently, they've gotten better.
I agree with that. Next.
Toss up, more notable night, Russell Westbrook or Evan Fournier?
All right, so Fournier was terrible. He was ghastly. He was 0-for-10 from the floor in his Celtics debut. The team was minus 12, I believe, when he was out there, and they lost by 6. And he was out there for 33 minutes. It just couldn't have been worse. And Danny Ainge, after making that deal, is probably hiding in a bathroom someplace. The other guy was tremendous. Bradley Beal is hurt. It was all on Russell Westbrook, and here are the numbers. 35 points, 21 assists, 21, and 14 rebounds, and he's a guard. All right, they won that game because of Russell Westbrook, who already, after 38 games with the Wizards, is the career
leader.
All-time in triple-doubles. So please don't tell me again that John Wall is better than him. Please
Stop.
Because this guy's great.
Nobody watching a basketball game would ever say John Wall is better than Russell Westbrook. So don't dare put that in my mouth, because that's never come out of my mouth. Now, Russell Westbrook was unbelievable last night. It's like watching a video game. It was insane that he put up those numbers. The problem, Tony, is the way they're going, we're not going to see Russell Westbrook putting up those kinds of games, and he is capable in the playoffs. He and Bradley Beal, if they were out there enough and playing this way at the same time, they have to be in the playoffs. So no matter what John Wall is versus Russell Westbrook, the Houstons and the Washingtons are both going to be in your attic watching a game on TV.
That's exactly right. That's it. Let's take one last break, but still to come. Is it too soon for Wilbon to worry about his new look Bulls?
No, it's two games. Come on. The Sabres' sad sack streak reaches a new low. That was bad last night with the Sabres, man.
I thought the Wizards were going to make a charge and get
Me
into
too.
The playoffs,
I did
but
too.
Now I don't think
I
so.
I did too, and it's not going to happen.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Programming note, you can get more Wilbon tonight on Soul of a Nation at 10 p.m. Eastern on ABC.
People watch. I got to speak with Carmelo, with Chris Paul, the Houston Texans' Michael Thomas, his revelation, and the great, and I know you agree with this, Tony, the great John Carlos.
Oh, absolutely. I'd watch, but it's very late for me, as you know.
DVR.
Happy time, people. Happy 81st birthday, Jerry Lucas. History lesson, kids. Lucas was the number one high school basketball player in the country when he decided to stay home and go to Ohio State, where he twice led the nation in rebounding. In Lucas's 3 years of eligibility, he went to three NCAA final games. Lucas won in 1960 with teammates John Havlicek, Larry Siegfried, and a reserve named Bobby Knight. But in 1961 and 62, Lucas was beaten by Paul Hogue and Cincinnati in Ohio-centric championship games. Lucas was drafted by the Cincinnati Royals, where he played with Oscar Robertson. In his career, Lucas was the Rookie of the Year, a seven-time All-Star, and at the end, a member of the 1973 NBA champion Knicks. What was most quirky about Lucas was his amazing memory. He appeared on quiz shows and toured the country with a memory expert, Harry Lorraine. People wondered if Jerry Lucas could memorize the phone book. In fact, he did.
The interesting part of history here, Tony, is that those Ohio State teams beat Cincinnati, but those weren't the Oscar Cincinnati teams in college. Oscar Robertson played at Cincinnati. Isn't it amazing how good those teams in Ohio were with multiple stars on those teams? Amazing.
Yes, yes. And Lucas was a territorial pick in those days. You know, that they had those then. Happy anniversary, Duke. On this day 30 years ago, the Blue Devils ended UNLV's run at an undefeated season with a 79-77 victory over the running Rebels in the national semifinals. The combined star power in that game could have lit up every sign on the Vegas Strip. Duke had Christian Laettner, Grant Hill, and Bobby Hurley. UNLV had Larry Johnson, Stacey Augman, Greg Anthony, and Anderson Hunt. Vegas had rolled through that tournament the way Gonzaga is rolling through this one. They beat Montana by 34, Georgetown by 8, Utah by 17, Seton Hall by 12, before losing to Duke and ending their season 34-1. It's not the most famous game that Leitner and Hill and Hurley won. That's the Kentucky game. But it may be their most significant game in terms of the basketball history.
Tony, it may not be the most memorable. I think you're right, the Kentucky game was because of the ending. But I thought it was their most impressive win to beat that UNLV team with the credentials and the people you just mentioned. And by the way, just to clear up something, there were great players all over that court. And Grandmama Larry Johnson, like Grant Hill, had his career shortened by the injury. Both those guys would have been even better players in the next 7 years of their careers. Grant Hill was the best player on the court in those games.
I know you love Grant Hill.
I do.
So do I. Christian Laettner was a great, great, great college
player. Grant Hill.
Happy trails to a 3-0 third period lead for the Buffalo Sabres. The Sabres found a new way to add to their winless streak last night, giving up 3 goals in the third period and losing in overtime 4-3 to the Philadelphia Flyers. Sabres defenseman Rasmus Dahlin said his team, quote, had a panic attack. To add insult to injury, the Sabres missed an open net chance deep in the third period that would have made it 4-2. The Sabres are now 0-15-3 in their last 18 games, and they haven't won since February 23rd. They fired their coach when the streak hit 12, and interim coach Don Granato said last night, and I quote, "I don't want to say anything to them. I think they should feel what they feel," unquote, whatever that means, unquote. The last team to go winless in 19 games was the Winnipeg Jets 27 years ago. The Sabres get their shot at that tomorrow night in a rematch against the Flyers.
You know, Tony, when the puck is sliding toward that empty net, the left post, I found myself, I don't care about either one of those teams, just let Buffalo off the hook. Let this go in, just tuck inside the left post. And it didn't. You just go, oh, no, there's a minute and a half left. They're going down. And, of course, they did go down in overtime. So it was, there's something sort of strangely exciting about this whole thing, I think.
All right, let's go to the big finish.
Let's
Your Bulls are 0-2 with Nikola Vucevic. Is that cause for concern?
No, Tony. When you're going to put Vucevic in there and you're going to have Zach LaVine have to play off of him and pick and roll and pick and pop, it's going to take them 5 or 6 games. The problem is they can lose enough games to be out of it. That really could happen. The Mets have reportedly offered 10 years, $325 million to Frankie Lindor, but he wants 12 for $385 by tomorrow. You're going to get it done?
By tomorrow, huh? Take the money. It's so much money. It's so much money. Justin Fields ran a 4.4440 at the Ohio State Pro Day. Is that significant?
RG3 ran a 4.41 like 10 years ago. No, it doesn't. It's a great thing to have, but it's not going to make that big a difference. Not even in his draft position. The Dodgers chose Dustin May over David Price and Tony Gonsolin as the 5th starter. Does that make sense to you?
Price had offered to go to the bullpen if the team needed it. I think that's selfless on his part, and I think it's commendable. Last one, women's 1 seed Stanford and South Carolina. They both play tonight. Are you smelling upsets?
No upsets, Tony. Stanford and South Carolina are going to win. The women's tournament is not like the men's tournament. It's chock full of upset. That's not the way it goes. The top seed's going to win.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. Now, Sports.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.